ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, titled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Text number 10. Gandharva Yavana Krantam. Yavana Krantam. Kalakanyo Pamarditam.
Kalakanyo Pamarditam.
Kalakanyo Pamarditam.
Kalakanyo Pamarditam.
Atum Prachak Atum Prakar Atum Prachakrame Raja.
Atum Prachakrame Raja.
Atum Prachakrame Raja.
Atum Prachakrame Raja.
Tampurin Ani Kamataha.
Tampurin Ani Kamataha.
Tampurin Ani Kamataha.
Tampurin Ani Kamataha.
Gandharva Yavana Krantam.
Gandharva Yavana
Krantam.
Gandharva
Pamarditam.
Kalakanyo Pamarditam.
Kalakanyo Pamarditam. Atum Prachakrame Raja.
Atum Prachakrame Raja.
Atum Prachakrame Raja.
Atum Prachakrame Raja.
Tampurin Anikamataha.
Tampurin Anikamataha.
Gandharva.
Gandharva,
by the Gandharva soldiers,
Gandharva soldiers.
Yavana.
Yavana,
and by the Yavana soldiers,
Krastham,
overcome,
Kalakanya,
by Kalakanya, the daughter of time. Upamarditam being
smashed.
Atum, to give up.
Prachakrame,
proceed.
Raja,
King Puranjana.
Tam,
that.
Purim,
the city.
Anikamataha,
unwilling. Translation by Jivendra Srila Prabhupada. The city of King Puranjana was overcome by the Gandharva and the Yavana soldiers, and although the king had no desire to leave the city, he was circumstantially forced to do so, for it was smashed by Kalakanya. So we'll repeat the translation responsibly. The city of King Puranjana, was overcome by Gandharva and Yavana soldiers. And although the king had no desire
to leave the city,
he was circumstantially forced to do so. For it was smashed by Kalakanya. We have about three paragraphs of Srila Prabhupada's purport. So let all us be very attentive in listening to this. We'll finish off and then we'll discuss. So be attentive, please. The living entity, separated from the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tries to enjoy this material world. He is given a chance to enjoy it in a particular type of body, beginning with the body of Brahma down to that of a microbe. From the Vedic history of creation, we can understand that the first living creature was Lord Brahma, who created the seven sages and the other Prajapatis to increase the universal population. Thus, every living entity, according to karma, its past desires and activities, gets a particular type of body, from that of Brahma to that of a microbe or germ in stool. Due to the long association with a particular type of material body, and also due to the grace of Kalakanya and her Maya, one becomes overly attached to the material body, although it is an abode of pain. Even if one tries to separate a worm from stool, the worm will be unwilling to leave. It will return to the stool. Similarly, a hog generally lives in a very filthy state, eating stool. But if one tries to separate it from its condition and give it to a nice place, the hog will be unwilling. In this way, if we study each and every living entity, we will find that he will defy offers for a more comfortable position. Although King Puranjana was attacked from all sides, he was unwilling to leave the city. In other words, the living entity, whatever his condition, does not want to give up the body, but is forced to give up because, after all, this material body cannot exist forever. Second paragraph. The living entity wishes to enjoy the material world in different ways, and therefore, by nature's law, is allowed to transmigrate from one body to another, exactly as a person transmigrates from the body of an infant to a child, to a boy, to a youth, to a man. This process is constantly going on. At the last stage, when the gross body becomes old and invalid, the living entity is reluctant to give it up, despite the fact that it is no longer usable. Although material existence and material body are not comfortable, why does the living entity want to leave? Does the living entity not want to leave? As soon as one gets a material body, he has to work very hard to maintain it. He may engage in different fields of activity, but whatever the case, everyone has to work very hard to maintain the material body. Unfortunately, society has got no information of the soul's transmigration because living entity does not hope to enter the spiritual kingdom of eternal life, bliss and knowledge. He wants to stick to his present body even though it may be useless. Consequently, the greatest welfare activity in the material world is the furthering of the Krishna conscious movement. Last paragraph. This movement is giving human society information about the kingdom of God. There is God, there is Krishna, and everyone can return to God and live eternally in bliss and knowledge. A Krishna conscious person is not afraid of giving up the body because his position is always eternal. A Krishna conscious person engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord eternally. Therefore, as long as he lives within the body, he is happy to engage in the loving service of the Lord. And when he gives up the body, he is also permanently situated in the service of the Lord. The saintly devotees are always free and liberated, whereas the karmis who have no knowledge of spiritual life or the transcendental loving service of the Lord are very afraid of giving up the rotten material body. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरं दर्शय ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुषोन्मीलितं तेन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभिस्तं स्थापितं तेन गुरुतले स्वयं रूपकथामाधारयति
जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
So, Hare Krishna. For those of you who have not been coming regularly for Srimad Bhagavatam class, I thought we'll give an overview of what has happened so far. And then we'll start. this Puranjana chapter involving the story of Prachinya Barisar is going to run into about 4 or 5 chapters. So what's happening is Narada Muni is narrating an allegorical story, a story which is not there but is given as an example to illustrate something in life. So it's allegorical story. Narada Muni is explaining to or talking to Prachinya Barisar, who lived many many millions back. Very old story. But the interesting point is Narada Muni is telling the allegorical story about Prachinya Bharat to him, but he's still not able to understand. So what's the story is going to say, or what's the story which is being said, is he starts the story by saying that once there was a person, his name was Puranjana. Puranjana means ourselves, all of us are Puranjanas. We are the person living in this body. Okay, Puranjana. Now Puranjana, he set out to find a place for himself. So after wandering the length and breadth of the country, he found a place to live in. And that place is known as a city of 9 gates. So he chose to live in that place. Now in that place, he also saw a very beautiful woman, which is considered as a material intelligence. Because everything is going in this body. The story which Narada Muni is trying to explain is talking about our own body, about our own body. So he sees a man, Puranjana, a person, he sees a beautiful lady, and immediately he wants to marry her. And that is represented as a material intelligence. When he was about to go near her and approach her, he saw that this lady had 11 servants, maid servants. Now this 11 maid servants represents the mind and the 10 senses. All of us have got 10 senses. It's clear? Everyone's clear with that? 10 senses? Anyone has got a doubt? Just for illustration. Just for clarification. Yes? You're not sure. Okay. We have a mind, which is subtle in nature, and we've got 10 gross senses. The 5 knowledge acquiring senses and the 5 working senses. So the knowledge acquiring senses are where you acquire the knowledge. Like the eyes, nose, tongue, ear, and the touch. There are the knowledge acquiring senses. And the working senses are 1 pair of hands, leg, tongue, again tongue, genital and anus. Okay, now all these are monitored by the mind, which is subtle in nature and which is also a sense which wants to enjoy. Sense means wants to enjoy. Okay, sense objects. So he sees that bodyguard, and also he also saw a 5-headed serpent protecting the queen, and that represents the 5 body airs. What are the 5 body airs? Prana, Apana, Udana, Samana, Dhyana. So there are 5 body airs, you know, which supports our life system. So that is represented in the form of a 5-headed serpent. Then he approaches, he gets married. After the marriage, he gets 1,100 sons and 110 daughters. They represent the pious and the impious activity of a conditioned soul. Then he has got so many grandchildren. That represents a reaction to the pious and impious activities. So this was going on. And then what happens is, over a period of time, the king gets attached to the queen. So much so that wherever the queen goes, the king will follow. If she eats, he will eat. If she walks outside, he will follow. If he goes elsewhere, go to the park, he will also go to the park. So he was constantly following him and is so much attached to the queen. So he did not know the progression of the time. Time is running swiftly. He did not realize. But time had come when his old age has come and is about to die. Now this particular verse is talking about Gandharvas, Gandharva king, and the Yavana king. Both are making plans to attack his kingdom or his possession, which is his body. Because in this world, we have a body which is given by the material energy, and we are the spirit soul, the living spark living in this body. We have got a body which is constantly changing or growing from childhood to boyhood, boyhood to youth, youth to adolescent, adolescent to old age. Constantly change the body. But the spirit soul inside the body does not change. So, at this stage, and in this present verse, the king of Yavanas and the Gandharvas, they are going to attack the body. In the following verses, it's also said that how Prajavara, which is a high fever, which in combination with fear are going to attack, and then the person is forced to leave. Because once he gets a high fever and then he's getting the fear, and then you know he has to forcefully has to go, leave this body. So the trap is there. Chandavega is the king of the Gandharvas. He has a plan. His plan is to combine himself with his soldiers. So Chandavega is the king of the Gandharvas. Gandharvas very powerful, and you can't see them. Okay, those Gandharvas has got a lot of soldiers. Those soldiers, along with Kalakanya, Kalakanya is the daughter of time. Chandravega is also known as time in one sense. Even though he's a Yavana, it is said that he's also representing time. So his daughter Kalakanya and Yavana king, which is known as fear, and his elder brother Prajavara, four people will attack us at the time of death. So this has been revealed in Bhagavad. So everyone clear with that? Okay? The king of Gandharva is known as time. His daughter is Kalakanya. Then Yavana Raja is a fear personification. And along with that, their soldiers. All are going to attack. Now this is a scenario which Narada Muni is explaining in this particular chapter. Now, because there are three big paragraphs, it's very difficult for us to concentrate. So quickly, we break down what is the conclusion Srila Prabhupada is giving in each of them. Paragraphs. Okay. In the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, a living entity has to change different bodies. There are a lot of bodies available in the material world. We are picking and choosing them based on our desires. Based on our desires. How many types of bodies are there in the material world? 8.4 million species. So one can pick and choose any body you want. So one is going through different types of body, one, he says that. And point number two, he says that a living entity is attached to a particular body and its condition. Doesn't matter, a worm in the stool or a pig, does not matter. A living entity is attached. And the third point he's making is, a living entity is forced to leave. If you are attached, it doesn't mean anything. At the time of death, all these persons discuss, they will come and they will disturb you, and you are forced to leave. It's something like we live in an apartment, okay? We live in a house, and the owner is saying, come on, just vacate. I want to come in. But we are reluctant. We will say, no, no, no. 1 more month, 4 more months, next year I'll go. In Australia, it's a very common thing, right? We may be reluctant to go. But what the owner does, he employs a person. Break the house. Break the window. Break the wall. You know? To take all the tiles on the roof. Give them some problem. So at that time what happens? We get disturbed. We get fear. Oh, what will happen to our life? So what we do? We walk away. We'll be forced to leave. This is what is happening. So especially we see here, in this paragraph, Puranjana is attached to his body. That is because, why is attached to his body? Because he is operating on material intelligence. Material intelligence, it binds a person because of sense gratification. Spiritual intelligence liberates a person. Spiritual intelligence only can control the material mind and the material senses. Material intelligence cannot control. If that is the case, all the professors in the university, they should be Goswamis. Right? It's not the case. So, spiritual intelligence can control the material mind and the senses. And that's why Narada Muni is going to talk about it. We'll talk a little bit more after some time. So the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is saying, is that one is forced not only to come out of the body, but a different body is given. So he's going through different types of bodies. So this process of transmigration is going on, which is explained in Bhagavad Gita. So unless you know this process of transmigration, that the soul is using bodies, one will not take up Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the welfare activity of every person is to give Krishna consciousness to others, to teach Krishna consciousness. That is what Srila Prabhupada is talking in paragraph 2. Paragraph 3, Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, is exhibiting his mood and mission. He says, in this movement, in my movement, Hare Krishna, Krishna conscious movement, he says that there is God. If you don't know so far, know from today that there is God. And this God reciprocates. And he wants all of us to take this process of Krishna consciousness and then have a relationship with God and go back to Him and live eternally, so that you don't have this problem of birth, death, old age, disease. That problem is eliminated if you go back to God. As long as one makes an endeavor in this material world, he is forced to have all these four miseries, birth, death, old age. He can't do anything because the platform is set like that. This is a platform. No matter what you are, one has to go through birth, death, old age, disease. But if someone wants to go over that, if someone doesn't want this problem, then they have to approach a bona fide spiritual master and take up this process of Krishna consciousness. So this is what is being explained in the three paragraphs. See, what I thought I'd give a rundown of this, or a quick summary of the paragraph, so that in case if you don't cover most of the points, at least we know what Srila Prabhupada is talking about in different paragraphs. So coming back to our topic, Puranjana doesn't want to leave this body. That is obvious, even in the verse also, and Srila Prabhupada is also explaining that he doesn't want to leave because of his material intelligence. He's so much used to sense gratification, right? Enjoying with all the senses. And therefore, it will not go. His mind is covered. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the 14th chapter, that there are three modes of material nature. We have got a mind, okay? The mind can exist in three conditions, or in three stages. What are the different stages the mind can exist? Yeah, that's there. But I was talking about in different stage means mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness. Okay? Same mind, but different states. Now, who can create this particular mind except Krishna? Because Krishna says this mind is one of its material nature, external material nature. So this mind, for every person, is different, but same mind. Based on how you react, your mind can exist into three conditions. Ignorance. Ignorance means the mind is inactive and dull, lazy. Because you have created the mind like that. Otherwise the mind is active and it's the mode of goodness. But because of your interaction with the material nature, the mind is tuned to that and you become lazy because of too much of addiction to sense gratification. You want to see too many movies, too many songs, too many, you know, coffee, tea, cigarettes, all this, and the mind becomes dull. Inactive and dull. That is in the mode of ignorance. If one continues this mode of ignorance, then Krishna explains that one gets an animal body in the next birth. Krishna explains. Then, mode of passion, very active, too much of the material energy, too much of material desires. I want this. Too much material desires. And because it's very active, one again gets another human form to continue. Because it's very active. Mode of goodness means development of soul. He is not interested in the material activities. He wants to develop his soul. And once he knows that he is a soul, automatically he is attached to Krishna. Because Krishna says we are part and parcel of him. Mamai vamsa jivalo. Which God said that we are part of Krishna, we are part of that God? Did any God say this? No God said that. But Krishna declares that you are all my parts. We are parts of Krishna. And therefore, we have a duty, sense of duty, to approach Krishna and to worship him. And it's natural, it's not artificial. Srila Prabhupada says it's not artificial. It's natural. Love is natural. While I was coming today, there was some marathon is going around. I have to go, you know, this way, that way. Finally, ended up, I was a bit doubtful, but still, anyway. While coming, there was a church, you know, outside the church, there is always some nice statements. I don't know when they put it, but today when they said, you can increase something by giving love to others. You know? Only love is the one which you can increase and give it to others. So this is what Krishna wants. Krishna is not short of anything. The Lord, Supreme Lord, is not short of anything. He doesn't want our 5 puris, 8 puris, some 3 sabjis, and all that. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. But if we offer something with love, then he accepts. So he also wants love as much as we do.
Okay. I think the sign you were talking about, the one.
Prabhu, if you don't mind, John, we will have the question.
No, I'm saying the one that you may have read might have been the one that I read.
Yeah, sorry.
And
yeah.
The one that you always gain by giving love.
Yes, along the lines, correct. That's right. Sorry, John. So he said, you always gain by giving love. So by loving Krishna, you gain. You know? What is the gain? That we may not have to suffer that. This life we may think, oh, we are in Australia. We have got a permanent resident. We are happy. But what about the next life? It has to continue. So the other problem with the material intelligence follows the dictations of the mind. Whatever the mind says, it follows. But spiritual intelligence controls someone. So that is why, what we should do? We should sharpen our intelligence. Intelligence should be spiritual. It should sharpen. How we sharpen the intelligence? By taking a knife? And sharpening. How do we do that?
Knowledge.
Scriptural knowledge will increase. Because scripture is always pointing, like a needle, it's always pointing to the soul. Whatever magazine we study, it's all about body. Scriptures always point that you are the soul, you are part of Krishna, therefore your duty is to serve Krishna. That is why we study. The moment we don't we are not in contact with the scriptures, then what happens? It tells us in how to enjoy, do this, everything for the body. So that is why we should be always in contact with scriptures,
which will sharpen our intelligence.
Okay. So here we see that Puranjana is going through the last stages of life, and the old age is attacking him. Slowly, you can see the next few verses attacking. But not only old age can kill you, something else can also kill you, which is the disease, which all of you are aware, coronavirus, is going around. Yes? Now, someone was asking the other day, why they named it corona? Why not Corolla or something? So I was just saying, why? I was just trying to do some groundwork on that. Corona means it represents a shape of a crown. Crown, you know, with spikes. So therefore, our coronavirus, under study, under the microscope, it is just resembled like a crown or like a sun with spikes protruding out. And therefore, they named it as... There is also, people are saying novel corona. Sometimes say corona. Novel means new. What's happened was, studied was, they had before 6 different species of this corona. Before. And this is 7 species. So they said new corona. See, the metal world always have got a tendency. New computer. They have a new version. Everything new, new. So they named this as new corona. Virus. Now, this virus doesn't even have a good gross form. But, you know the damage it's doing? It can bring down even country. It can bring down a country. This is a form of a virus, it is. Just a small virus, you cannot even see through the naked eye. You need a microscope to see. And that is having a big havoc on the people. And this virus is active for at least 5 days. Active. Which means it can fast. It can do Ekadashi Vrata freely. We have to struggle for 1 day. But 5 days it can fast. And when it gets a target, you are finished. 5 days it will be starving to get a target. And once when someone touches and then goes into your body, then it becomes active. It takes about 28 days, 14 to 28 days, for the virus to be active and to come out and have its play. I was studying a case where one of the person from Wuhan, from China, that lady left and gone for India. She's from Kerala, Kochi. And on the way she came to Calcutta, and then she went to a place, you know, to the South India. And through that time, wherever she went to the airport, they didn't see airport, they are given only a random procedure, that is just to check the temperature. The temperature is high, then they check. The temperature is moderate, then they say, okay, you don't have corona. But they never knew that. Slowly they are trying to study, you know. It takes 14 days to incubate and the germs, to, you know, the virus to be active. So by the time this girl has passed, you know, 14 days back, she came to her place, you know, native place in Kerala. She was okay. Then, because she was reading all the news, she thought probably, you know, it's better to, you know, be aware of whatever it is. And then she slowly started the symptom of coughing, throat pain, pneumonia, very, you know, thick phlegm and things like that. So she went and, you know, checked up. She had got corona. Although the death rate is 2%, but we don't know what's being affected in the system, right? We don't know. Yet, the statistics so far is, they say, about 7,000 people affected, close to 200 people died, almost 2% ratio, and 1 lakh or 100,000 people isolated, because they are predicting that it's coming up. Because they will not know until 14 days have passed away. So this is what is that corona is doing. So in the material world, we cannot take any chance. That's a point. That's a point. Krishna is also saying, we also have to be aware of it. We cannot take any chance. We don't know. Trouble caused by other living entity. He will not be in a gross form. He can be also in a corona form. Adi Bhauti. Okay. Then, so this corona is going. A person and 200 people have died. Dead. They died. Life is over. And the soul is going to transmigrate in different form. Whatever the body, they're thinking at the time of death. When a person dies, or after death, a person can exist again in one of the three states. What are the different states he can exist? He can become an ash. I remember, in 2009, when my mother passed away, we put on the crematorium, burnt the previous day. Next day when we went, in a kalash, you know, they gave some... the mud colors, you know, not the copper one. They gave only ash. My mother's bones, this one, everything, ash, reduced ash. And then they said, do whatever you want. His job is over. Reduced to a pot of ash. This is what the material energy does to us. Okay? If your body is burnt after death, when the soul leaves, right, the body is useless. They are acting, they are doing, talking, everything because of the presence of the soul, which is a spiritual spark of Krishna. Because of that component, we are acting, walking, talking. And when the spark leaves, the body is useless. And the body has to be burned. When the body burns, the output is ash. Or some of the, you know, Christian mission and culture, they used to bury the body. When you bury the body decays and it turns into dirt. This is the second way the body can exist. The third way is stool. In some of these communities also, they put the bird as a food to the vultures and the birds. The dead body. The birds eat that, it's a food, and it passes as a stool. So this is our status. How do we know all this? Through scriptures. The scriptures overviews things. He tells us ahead of time. That is why we should be again in contact with scriptures. And a person who studies scripture, who practices Krishna consciousness and studies scripture, his consciousness level is high. And therefore, he doesn't bother very much with the body. He doesn't really care about his body in one sense. Okay? Because of the knowledge, he thinks, yes, today I am wearing this jumper or I am wearing this kurta. Doesn't matter. I have to live with that. There is some stain here. Oh, it doesn't matter. Because the knowledge is so high. His consciousness level is elevated and therefore he doesn't bother about his body. But that is also certain, not everyone can imitate that. For example, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Their mood was different. We cannot imitate them because they don't care about the body. Considering body is different, not caring about the body is different. But can we in the same way neglect our body? Can we? Why? Why we should not neglect our body? Because the body is a vehicle. My car, I came today by car. If I don't clean my car, if I don't service my car, how can I go from one place to another place? Car will not work. So the body is exactly like a vehicle we should use in Krishna's service. And therefore, it has to be serviced. It has to be followed. That's simply some servicing, some principle has to be followed. And we are following the sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti given by Rupa Goswami. And therefore we are using the body also in the service of Krishna. And by using that, we realize that we are the self. So therefore, we must use the body in the service of Krishna to realize we are the soul.
Okay. So, if
we say that we are a living spark and all that, then what are we exactly? What's our composition? What is our combination? Are we only the soul or are we only the body? Who are we? We are only soul, but we are not body. Or we are only body and not soul. So who are we actually? We are both actually. Because the soul is part of Krishna. The body is given to the material nature for a duration of time. We are a combination of, at this stage, we are a combination of matter and spirit. We are a combination. How do we say that? Because we are eternal beings in a temporary body. For this span of life, we have got a body. We are living in that body, it's a vehicle. So therefore, we are eternal living beings in temporary bodies. And the body will disappear, or we are forced to go. Because of the, we have to understand the temporary nature of the body and the eternal nature of the soul. And therefore, Krishna describes in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? The conclusion? That body cannot be saved, soul cannot be killed. This is the conclusion Krishna is telling us. Chapter 2. The body cannot be saved, the soul cannot be killed. No matter whatever you try, if you try this, this is a basics. So it starts with that. So moving forward, if we are eternal beings, why are we misidentifying with this body? We are eternal beings, right? Then we should not even care about our body. If you think that we are an external being, why are we misidentifying the body? Because this body has got two, we are actually having two bodies. The soul is covered by two layers of bodies. The person was. Do you know that? The soul, spirit part, part of Krishna, fragmental part of Krishna, tiny portion of Krishna. We are actually spirit souls. We are covered by two layers of matter. The gross matter and the subtle matter. The gross matter is this body, which at the end of the lifetime we discuss that it will be burned or it is buried or it is eaten. But what about the subtle body? What happens to the subtle body after death? It's the same mind. It goes along with the soul and takes another gross body. So the mind, intelligence, false ego, we have got that from eternal, time immemorial. Been constantly filling it up. It's like a container. We're constantly filling it up. And that mind has got desires. Because it is in line with the soul, or it's attached to the soul. Now, one may ask this question. Mind is a matter, isn't it? Mind is a lost illusory energy, correct? How can mind has got desire? How can matter has got desire? This microscope does not, this phone does not have desire. This sun does not have desire. How does a mind has got desire? How it is storing desire? What's the answer for that? We are thinking, right? I have a desire. I'm waiting for 9 o'clock. I want to take nice khichdi. Next 10 minutes. That's my desire. Open desire. I want to, of course I want to chant, after that is the switch. At least I want to go out. That's my desire. How can I think? I am a soul. I should only 24 hours think of Krishna. I cannot think of any other things. I should not have material desire. The material desire is caused by the mind. Mind is a matter, logically. How can matter think? How can matter have desire? People who don't know Krishna consciousness, their entire life is only material desire. How is that? Because mind is thinking. Because acharyas say that when a current is passing through a wire, the wire behaves like a, as if current is passing through. Isn't it? But the moment current is stopped, you turn off, then the current is not passing through the wire and the wire doesn't act as an electrical line. In the same way, as long as the soul is there,
the mind thinks externally, reacting with the material energy, it produces disease. And therefore, what is the solution Krishna is telling to avoid material disease? Of course, it's a very high step. Spiritual direction given by Krishna is very high step, but we have to follow it. What is that step Krishna is saying about the desires, how to control the desires? In Bhagavad Gita 6.19, Krishna is saying, as a lamp in the windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains steady. So unless your mind is controlled, and he says, Krishna says, transcendentalist. So only who is on the path of Krishna consciousness, only, who is attached to Krishna, who is doing Krishna's service, who is chanting Krishna's name, who is taking Krishna's prasadam, who is associating with Krishna's devotees, who is reading Krishna's scripture, transcendentalist, his mind is controlled because his desire is only to serve Krishna. It is not a thing which comes just like that. It's a practice. Devotional service to Krishna is a practice. That's why Srila Prabhupada has brought this. You have to practice slowly. Then the mind can be controlled. It becomes steady. Otherwise the mind is always distracted. See, the mind's duty is to get distracted. That's how the mind works. You can't focus on one thing at a time. It keeps on thinking, moving like that. Left to right to left. That's the nature. Flickering. Arjuna explains that. The sixth chapter. Mind is constantly flickering. That's the nature of the mind. What can you do? So the only way to control the mind is fix on Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's Krishna. Then the mind is fixed. Otherwise it will be one thing. So I just thought that, you know, Krishna explains, only a transcendentalist will always remain steady because it's fixed on Krishna's service, and therefore the mind is fixed. Okay, now if we want to be fixed in Krishna's service or to be fixed in Krishna's intelligence, what we should do? How to fix ourselves? Because see, we want to be fixed in Krishna's service. We want to be devotee. But devotee means we should be fixed in Krishna's service. And to be fixed in Krishna's service means, what is that we have to do? Hearing chanting is a fundamental basic principle. Doesn't matter, Uttama Adhikari and a neophyte. Hearing Shravanam Kirtanam is a fundamental thing for any devotee. One should hear and chant. And then along with that, one should follow sadhana. Sadhana bhakti, sadhana. The regulative principles of bhakti, one must follow. It's a must. Otherwise, one cannot proceed. One cannot be fixed. And how do you get the intelligence? Because intelligence is important in Krishna's service. Without intelligence, one will waver and one will fall down. For example, in the case of Puranjana, Prachinya Bharat, we saw that his mind was flickering and his intelligence was also material. And therefore, he's going to leave and he's going to take a next body as a woman. Right? So intelligence is very important. Now, how do you gather intelligence? How do you get intelligence or knowledge? Knowledge, there are many ways, but the best way, scriptures are saying, is two ways. One is by hearing or reading from the authoritative sources, knowledge. The other one is through practical example, experiences. Okay? Among the two, the scriptures say that knowledge by reading or hearing is much better, and that is the best thing. Why? Why knowledge by hearing is better? Because, say for example, there is a ditch. I am just noticing, one person is going, he is falling into the ditch. He gets up, oh, next time I should not fall. He walks away. Another person comes, he falls into the ditch. What does he do? Oh, next time I will go. Third person comes. But how to prevent the fourth person from falling into the ditch? What will you do?
no more room in the ditch anyway.
No, every time he gets up and goes. John, every time he gets up and goes. So there's always a room, place for a person to fall. He's not standing, he's not sitting there. He's walking out. He said, yes, I knew that. There's a ditch I should not do next time. But what about the new person? The new person will put a simple board. It's a ditch. There's a hole there. Don't walk. Walk, you know. Detour. Today I saw detour. So many places. If I don't detour, I'll go and bang in some bar or something. Because there was a detour. So I went through the different places and came here. So in the same way, if there is a ditch, you know, we have to put a board. That there is a hole there. Don't go. So what happens? The fourth person will not fall into the... This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. It's giving us ahead of time. It's showing us, listen, you don't know what is death. Death is like that. There are four entities and they've got the soldiers. For example, it is said that the Gandharva soldier, Chandaveda, has got 760 soldiers that represents day and night of a day. There are 360 days in a year. 720 soldiers means 360 are black, 360 are white. So 720 soldiers are there, day and night. This is how our year goes away. One year goes away. And these people are there to make sure that we are being attacked through them. So how do we know all this? And how do we know, see, we might have died in the past, but this birth, we are yet to die. How do we know that we are going to get a temperature up to 107 degrees given by Prajavara or Vishnuvara? Said that in the Bhagavatam. How do we know? And when the temperature reaches, he gets fear. Because the temperature and fear, both will force him to go out of the body. Like pushing. Sometimes in a holy place like Tirupati, you go and stand there, you'll be pushed. So in the same way, you are pushed out of the body. So how do we know all this? By scriptures. We have to prepare. Prashiniya Bhari said, Puranjana did not prepare and therefore he has to change the body. But Bhagavatam is saying, Narada Muni is saying this allegorical story. If you prepare yourself, you will not have next body. It's a lie, it's telling us. So, it is said that in a humorous way, when a car is going, the headlight is the knowledge, the tail light is experience. That when you go in a car, the car light, headlight will show you, oh, this is a road to go, there's a ditch there. But the tail light, you will know only after you pass by, you fall into the ditch. So our experiences are like tail light. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is like headlight. It will show you, come on, this is going to happen to you. So beware, take the process, start the process, do the preparatory work. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is focusing on. And that's why Narada Muni is taking time to explain this to Prachinaya Bharisa in the form of an allegorical story. Okay, very quickly. We always wind up with a story appropriate to this. We finish up with a very quick story. Once there lived a man, some of you may know, but please keep it confidential. Right? Otherwise, you know, if you tell it out, it won't be good. There is a man, he had four wives. But this is not possible in Kali Yuga. Maybe previous Yuga, okay? One man had, like Prachinaya Bharat had so many wives and all that. So a man had four wives. He's very much attached to the last wife who's very young. Fourth wife. Then, did anyone know the story? Then, the third wife, he will go to the third wife for... She's very much attractive, third wife. So he takes the third wife to the parties. Where there is a party, he will take the third wife. Now, he goes to the second wife for advice. Some advice and all the what I should do and all that. First wife, he neglected. He was going on like that. And like Puranjana, he got the old age. And all the Gandharva king, Yavana king, Kalakanya and Vraja. Or the fever.
Okay, what's this? Brajavara, Brajavara attack. So he's on the death verges, on the verge of death. At the time, he called his fourth wife. He said, listen, I'm so much attached to you, like Puranjana. From morning till night, I'm thinking of you all the time. So when I leave, can you come with me? She said, no. Very cold answer. No, I'm young. If you die, I'll get married to someone else. In Australia, it's very easy. No problem. I'll get married. Then he thought, what is this? I had so much faith. Okay. He called the third wife. He said, I have taken you to parties and all that. So many places. Now, do you want to come with me when I die? She said, no, I'm not interested. I want to still continue my parties. Somehow I'll manage. But you go. I want to enjoy parties. And then he called the third wife. He said, I've always come to you for advice. Now, what do you like to tell me? Please. She said, okay. Fine. I'll consider you. I will come to the crematorium. And then it is your wedding. That much I can do. Then, when he was going to look at the last wife, she came to me and she said, I will come with you. He said, listen, I rejected you. I neglected you all my life. And how come you are coming anymore? You are trying to say that you are coming with me. Are you sure? He said, yes. Now there is a story and a moral behind that. What is that? All of us have got four wives. Doesn't matter. If you are a lady, you have got four husbands. If you are a man, you have got four wives. All of us have got. So what is that? The first wife, the fourth wife, whom we are attached is our body. Morning till evening we are thinking, right? The breakfast is over. Next, what can we have for lunch? Then, in between, some lemon juice to digest. And then we can have a dinner. We are offering to Krishna. So all the time we are thinking of the body. That's the fourth wife. Then, second wife is what? Is attached to the parties and all that. So that is our accomplishment, our degrees. I have done masters. I'm a SAP analyst. I'm working in Melbourne University, prestigious university. Right? All this, our accomplishment. Look at me. How smart I am. This is the second one. Useless. Both will not come. The fourth wife did not come. Third wife did not come. Third, second wife is, we go to advice. They are all our family and relatives. Brother, sister. Okay, they will come. We will do something after the crematorium. They will come. And once it's burned, they say bye. We have got our life. Because we are going to live for a long time, we will have to manage our ship. The first wife is the soul. We are the soul, but we are neglecting all our life. We are spirit soul, but we are neglecting our life and we are after the body, after the needs of the body. Okay, time up, we'll stop here. Probably we'll not have time to take any questions. If there's any quick one, please, otherwise we'll stop here. Thank you, Maharaj, for tolerating me. Okay, we'll stop here. Yes, Maharaj.
Lord Chaitanya Prabhu is very simple. If we chant the holy names, it cleanses the heart. It removes the illusion that we are this.
Hare Krishna, can you give me?
Quick. So, everyone should chant Hare Krishna. Especially those people who are ignorant. The chant Lord Chaitanya Prabhu is very simple. And we have to do our sadhana and everything for our spiritual life. But there are many people, they don't know anything. They're working on the bodily platform or mental platform. But if we give them the holy names, go out and chant the holy names or teach them to chant Hare Krishna, then the soul will be given a chance to awaken. Spiritual intelligence, the false ego, will be cleansed away, and we will understand all this knowledge in the scriptures. I had a personal experience when, before I joined the movement, I read one of Prabhupada's books. I looked at it. I couldn't understand anything. It was over my head. But after I chanted Hare Krishna, and some purification had come, like chant because I was chanting, then I could understand. So this distributing the holy names is the highest welfare work for the poor people who are suffering in ignorance. That's just the point I'd like to make. We should, all of us should not only look after ourselves, we should look after all the poor people on this, in Australia and the whole world, by spreading this Krishna conscious movement. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. Save the whole world, not just ourselves. Thank you very much. Give them the holy name. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare
Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare
Hare! Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama Rama!
Hare
Hare! Thank you for running the class. I was listening. So much thank you for that. I just wanted to make this point. If we spread the holy name, to give the neighbor's holy name, the children's holy name, it will be the best medicine for the soul, for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Nithai Gaura Premanande.